the other is intended to show, I love you, I care about you. When you're sharing with your spouse, hey, this is an area I want to help you grow in, it needs to be not that slap in that face, but that tender caress.
Absolutely. And with our cat, we just never know what she's doing on that, let me just say.
It's never a tender caress from a cat, ever.
That's right. Smack.
They're evil.
Not cats are not evil. Oh, we'll talk about this on a different podcast.
Knife tornadoes is what they are.
You may be one choice away from a thriving marriage. Welcome to the Operation Thriving Marriage podcast with Brian and Jennifer Harvey.
Welcome to the Operation Thriving Marriage podcast. Brian Harvey here with my amazing wife, Jen.
Ha ha ha!
So excited to be sharing with you. So, sweetheart, the episode, and I was reading some articles and stuff as I was doing research for the podcast.
Yeah.
And one of the common things that people complain about is their spouse being critical.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that myself, just in just articles popping up or doing some research here and there as well. But I think a spouse being critical of another spouse, it's just a relationship killer, and that's just real.
Yeah, it's difficult. Yet at the same time, we talk about this quite a bit. We talk about it in the book. We talk about this at our seminars. We talk about the fact that marriage is about holiness, not happiness. And what we mean by that is your spouse isn't there to make you happy. Your spouse is there to make you holy, which means your spouse is there to help you grow to be the person God intended you to be.
Yes, holiness and happiness are not mutually exclusive. It's just which one are you pursuing and moving towards. If you move towards holiness, that is going to bring the happiness along with it. But if you're pursuing just happiness, you're going to have all kinds of problems.
Yeah. So shout out to Tim Ross, pastor down in Texas. We got to meet, gosh, it's been a couple years now. He shared this with us at a marriage training thing that we were at. And we use this quote a lot because Tim Ross is just brilliant and how he put this was great. He said, talking about the idea of us being one as a couple when you're married, you become one. And what he says is your spouse is you outside of you, looking at you, telling you about you.
Oh, babe, say it again. I love this one. I love this one.
So your spouse is you outside of you, looking at you, telling you about you. Have you ever tried to look at your own back?
No. I mean, probably the closest I've ever gotten is like when I get my hair cut, I get the mirror from my hairstylist, Bethany, and then she spins me around to the other mirror, so that's how I'm able to do it.
Right.
But it's not the same as if I could actually see my back, right?
Absolutely. Your spouse is there and can see your back, can see the things you don't see. I tell people all the time, and I talk about this on the podcast, I'm really good at believing my own lies. I'm really good at convincing myself of my own personal awesomeness.
And we all are, for both, right?
Yeah. Jen, so those of you who didn't know this, Jen and I actually met doing community theater. And for years, while we were dating, I was the actor and Jen was the director. And she owned her own theater company. We did shows together. I'll tell you, learn how to be in a relationship. Have one of you be in charge of the other one doing a task and have navigate that. That's a fun experience.
No one died.
We're still here. We're married.
No criminal defense attorneys had to be retained.
Yeah. But one of the things that Jen said that helped me a lot, for some reason, Jen loved to cast me as the villain.
So he plays a good villain.
Therapists, psychologists out there, you can take that however you want to take it.
He's that good of an actor because he's a good guy, but he can play the bad guys really well.
So one of the things that Jen pointed out, though, is when you're playing the villain or whatever character you're playing, every character is the hero of their own story.
Always.
You are the hero of your own story. So your spouse is there to point out the areas that you need to improve. So if they're there to point things out, to show us, to help us grow, to be holy, that means they do have to criticize us. They have to be, I mean, just be honest. I know people are going to start trying to mince words. Well, they can suggest and stuff. It's criticism. It's critical. Criticism is pointing out things that need correction. And so now we have what seemed to be two irreconcilable differences. How do we critique someone? How do we point these out without being critical of them, without treating them or communicating that there is less value?
And if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you know what we're going to say next. And, you know, Brian loves this, which is...
presume goodwill.
That's right. Presuming goodwill is such a big thing because, again, you are presuming that your spouse has your back, is coming from a good place, is not trying to give you a hard time or do anything that would be detrimental to you or trying to shame you or embarrass you, that your spouse has your back and, you know, wants you to grow in holiness and godliness and wants the marriage to be better too. I think it's also important, in addition to presuming goodwill, to be humble.
Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Humility is an essential Christian virtue. Yeah, I mean, we have to be humble to come before God for salvation in the first place. And that humility has to carry on. We need to be able to listen humbly to our spouse. You know, when your spouse is pointing something out, don't get defensive. Remember, they're communicating this because they love you and want to see you become more of who God created you to be. They're not trying to beat you up. They love you and are trying to encourage you and help see the fullness of what God has for you.
And I think in talking about that oneness that we have, the idea of getting defensive becomes more nonsensical. Because of course, if someone's being critiqued or criticized, it can be very understandable to say, all right, you know, I'm kind of putting up my defenses because I don't want to get hurt and I don't know if I'm going to get attacked. I don't know where this individual would be coming from. But the reason that I'm saying that is ridiculous as relates to a marriage is marriage should be that safest human relationship that you're able to have. And if you're one, of course, each of you are going to have each other's back. So I hope that can help diffuse some of that defensiveness when we're talking about listening humbly.
But and that goes into what being naked and unashamed means, right? You know, what Adam and Eve first did is they covered themselves up. They separated from each other. We need to not put up our defenses. And when Jen was saying that, what made me think that she actually put up her hands like in a defensive boxing posture. No, you need to take that down. You need to take all those defensives away and be completely open. And then when you're completely open with each other, you are able to become more one and develop into the holy creation, that new creation that you are in Christ.
So don't be Rocky Balboa in the ring when talking to your spouse for many different reasons, right? So we've already talked about listening humbly, and no surprise, we're going to go into speaking humbly as well, because a lot of the problem when discussing these things in marriage is not the actual message itself, but it's how it's said. How it's being communicated is in many ways more important than actually what is being communicated. And you need to communicate as a fellow Christian seeking to grow in Christ-likeness. We have talked about the use of the tone of voice. We've talked about the butter voice, the idea of if you were sitting down at dinner and you couldn't reach the butter and your grandma was right next to you, or anybody else for that matter, you know, you would not be vile towards that individual and scream and be nasty or demand the butter. You'd just use a pleasant, kind, non-committal really voice. Could you please pass the butter? I mean, that's all there is to it. So it's about not being defensive, not getting riled up, and speaking humbly, speaking in that way that your spouse would want to listen to you, in addition to listening in such a way that your spouse would want to speak with you.
So think about it like this. Think about when you're speaking to someone. Think of the difference when the person across from you reaches back to slap you in the face versus reaches up to tenderly caress your cheek. Both are reaching up and touching your cheek. One is violence. One is intended to hurt. One is intended to cause pain. The other is intended to connect. The other is intended to show, I love you, I care about you. When you're sharing with your spouse, hey, this is an area I want to help you grow in, it needs to be not that slap in that face, but that tender caress.
Absolutely. And with our cat, we just never know what she's doing on that, let me just say.
It's never a tender caress from a cat, ever.
That's right. Smack.
They're evil.
Cats are not evil. Oh, we'll talk about this on a different podcast.
Knife tornadoes is what they are.
Knife tornadoes. Razor blades on their feet. Yes.
Also remember, context is everything.
Context is everything.
If your spouse doesn't feel loved by you, they're not going to be able to receive correction from you.
And haven't you even noticed that? And again, I'm not saying the husband should be the wife's teacher or professor, or the wife should be the husband's teacher professor in a negative kind of way. But haven't you noticed that in school growing up, whether we're talking about graduate school, college, you know, talking about high school, middle school, weren't you able to do better in your classes and receive criticism better in those teachers who were really cool, who you really liked because they really liked you? So I think having that heart, your spouse having that heart trying to come at you saying, I want you to be better. I want you to grow in holiness. I want us to grow in our marriage in all the positive ways. You're going to be able to receive that better. So if your spouse doesn't feel loved by you, of course they're not going to be able to receive that kind of correction from you.
And that takes time building that intimacy throughout your entire relationship, not just, okay, it's one of those, they teach a management tool, say something good, say something critical, then say something good.
Oh, the sandwich?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the military, we call it
I know, and we're not going to say that out loud, but
well,
yes.
Yeah, not on the podcast anyway. So you can't walk into a situation, say, I love you, and you're really horrible at life, and I still love you. That's not going to work.
Sure.
It has to be a constant experience, expression of you're constantly building that oneness and building that care and affection in the relationship. So when God puts before you an opportunity to help your spouse grow in holiness, you're prepared for it.
And if you're not working to improve all aspects of your marriage, you're not going to be able to help each other grow in holiness, because really, all aspects of your marriage, all aspects of your life need to be touched and healed and corrected by God the Father. And you can't hold anything back from that. So anything that is going on, and you know, we hear about the problems of pornography and erotica in marriages all the time. Those things you've heard me very adamantly say over the years, got to get rid of those. Got to get those out of there. That's only going to cause pain and destruction and problems in your marriage that could even lead to the end of your marriage. You can't just say, well, we're going to have a good marriage besides this thing that I do or this thing that I want to have. Sin is selfishness, as we repeatedly say, and it's important to give God access to and correction over any aspects of your life, including aspects of your marriage. And it's also important to give your spouse access to all areas of that marriage to talk things through and improve it.
God created marriage to make us more fit for our purpose here on earth. God put humans here to represent Him and to govern in His place and to worship Him, and said, okay, the one human, the one man, isn't going to be effective in this. So woman is there and the marriage is there. Now they are both more effective. We are able to help each other become more holy through the context of our marriage because of the closeness and the intimacy that a marriage is. That not only you live together, so you're not hiding anything, because you see everything, you see each other at your best and worst, but also you have that trust and that freedom to be able to be honest with each other, and knowing that it's about, if I help you, we together are stronger and more fit for what God has for us.
And of course, the strength of the relationship is the reason that you're able to help each other become more holy. And we want that, the strength of that relationship, to develop for you and become stronger as the years go by. I think that when people initially get married, they're going to just as different couples have different amounts of strength, different amounts of holiness, that's okay because God's going to be working on you throughout your marriage, throughout your life. And wherever you're starting from, God wants to grow you in that kind of strength. God wants to grow you in that kind of intimacy and that kind of knowledge of Him and in having that holy marriage that you two are growing together in to grow closer to Him as well.
And you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to become that which God intends for you to be. And your spouse, empowered by the Holy Spirit to help you see those areas that you need to grow in, to open yourself up to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life.
That's exactly right.
Marriage exists to help you fulfill the vocation that God has given all of us, to represent Him and His new creation. For us, to fulfill this vocation, we have to become more holy, more fit for His kingdom. And our spouses help us to do that by helping us see the places we still need to grow. When we are humble and we presume goodwill, we will grow in holiness and we will have stronger marriages and be more fit for the vocation, the work that God has for us. Thank you so much once again for listening to the Operation Thriving Marriage podcast. Jen and I love to hear from you and hear your questions and your thoughts about the podcast, what we're doing. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to us on Facebook at Operation Thriving Marriage, or you can reach out to us on our website, operationthrivingmarriage.com. You can also rate and review this podcast. You can review this and tell us how you're doing. And when you do that, it helps other people find this podcast as well. And you can also help them find it by sharing this episode with someone that you care about. Thank you so much. Jen and I started Operation Thriving Marriage to help couples and churches take marriages from merely surviving to thriving. We've got our book, we've got a blog and resources for our coaching ministry, and you can bring us out for an Operation Thriving Marriage experience. For more information, go to OperationThrivingMarriage.com. That's OperationThrivingMarriage.com.